world in which we live our day-to-day lives is a world in which the immediacy of Christ's presence, the immediacy experienced by his first followers prior to his ascension, is familiar to us at best in a second-hand sort of way. Hence my question, ought Ascension Sunday actually be regarded as Abandonment Sunday? Abandonment Sunday, the Sunday when Christ pronounces his adios and heads into the distance, rarely, if ever, to be seen again. I think it would be foolish for us to dismiss that question too hastily. Abandonment, a sense of being on our own without God, at any rate, minus concrete evidence of God's presence. I think abandonment is a condition with which all of us will have at least some familiarity if we'll allow ourselves to be honest. As a matter of fact, nowhere is the humanity of Christ more powerfully offered to us within the pages of the New Testament than when he is heard, both in Mark's Gospel and in Matthew's, when he is heard to cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Whatever else such words coming from Christ's own lips indicate, they indicate that there's no need for us to pretend that we are unfamiliar with such abandonment. That powerful sense, often at times of particular loss or particular crisis, the sense that every help has failed us, that we've been abandoned by every human help and comfort, as well as the fearful foreboding that we've also been abandoned by every divine help and every divine comfort. At such moments, we feel very much alone. And at such moments, we can experience special gratitude for the fact that Christ was no stranger to the dreadful and yet all too familiar sense of being nakedly alone. The dreadful sense of having been abandoned by everyone, of having been abandoned even by God. And yes, with that observation, we draw very close to why it is that Christ's ascension entails more than mere abandonment. Thank God. In his beautiful prayer at the start to Ephesians, the prayer we heard earlier, Paul captures something of the mystery, something of the magic, something of the miracle of what it means for us to say that Christ has ascended to the Father, has ascended to full participation in the Godhead. Asking in his prayer that the hearts and minds of his readers, and that includes you and me, folks, asking that his readers will find wisdom, will find enlightenment. Paul's specific desire through the power that God put to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's the ascension. Seated at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's the ascension to which Paul is referring. Not just the resurrection, but also the ascension. Paul's specific desire is that we will come to know through the power vested in the risen and ascended Christ, that we'll come to know and come to claim the hope. Underline that word hope. It's so important here. That we will claim the hope to which we've been called. The word hope is central, is critical, since we only hope for that which we do not yet possess. If we already possess it, why hope for it? If we already possessed it, there would be no need for hope. And yes, on this Abandonment Sunday, which far more importantly and far more impressively is Ascension Sunday. On this Sunday, we have an opportunity to recognize that our hope in God's graciousness doesn't need to rest on some abstract notion about who God is, some vague theory about God, but can rest on the solid ground that Jesus, this Jesus, our Jesus, is really and truly with God. In short, our hope is grounded in the realization that the full human experience of the man Jesus, this is an odd notion, but without saying yes to this, I think we negate so much of what happened 2,000 years ago for us. The realization that when we speak of the humanity of God, we're not indulging in sacrilege or wishful thinking, but that we're naming the extent to which the human experience of the truly human Jesus, including his experience of being radically abandoned, now rests at the very heart of God. God is no stranger. God is no stranger to those times and places when we too have been tempted to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Nor is God a stranger, thankfully, to that other moving cry from the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing. Ironically, at those very moments when we feel most abandoned by God, as well as those very moments when we ourselves have created so grave a distance between ourselves and God that there's no hope left for us, precisely at those moments, the God who came to us in Christ is nearest, is closest, is most able to embrace our worlds of doubt and pain, and to do so with personal experience of having walked this walk, having shed these tears, and having looked with hope toward God. Friends in Christ, in this time between the times, in this time between Ascension and Pentecost, these fraught 10 days, in this time of abandonment, which is no abandonment at all, in this time when we await the Spirit's fullness, may we find the courage to persevere. And may we find the vision to catch at least a glimpse, and more than a glimpse, of the hope that beckons us from the very heart of God in and through Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Most gracious God, most holy God, O God who dwells in deepest mystery, O God who invites us through Christ to become full participants in the mystery of your very being, O God, hear us and hold us this day. We acknowledge the madness of the world we have helped to make, a world of seemingly random violence, a world of continual change and challenge, a world in which both blessing and burden seem to be so unequally and so unfairly distributed. Oh God, in short, a world in which it is wise indeed for us to heed Christ's warning to let each day's worries suffice for that day, since none of us know what tomorrow will bring. And so we thank you for this day, and for the opportunity that is ours to offer love and service this day. And we thank you that having departed from the midst of his disciples, Christ now lives in you and with you and seeks our highest good in eternity, as he sought our highest good while with us here in the flesh. For the miracle of Easter, we praise you. For the hope of Pentecost, we acclaim you. And we pray for all for whom this season has brought little joy, but much by way of challenge. Embrace, O God, all who suffer, all who worry, all who believe themselves that they're all on their own. And show us how we might best minister in the midst of a world in which light and darkness commingle, in which triumph and failure rub shoulders, in which there is so much worthy of celebration, and yet so very much that cannot help but prompt our grief and our tears. Above all, help us to be a people who remember, even in our moments of greatest doubt, distress, and fear, to remember that we are not alone, that we live in your world, O God, and that we are called to share that glad news with the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.